BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello, I'm Dr. Nathan Filer. I'm an author and a mental health academic, and I'm also a dad. A year ago, I was pottering around my kitchen with Radio 4 playing in the background. I don't recall what the programme was, only that an expert was saying how parents and guardians should start talking to their children about pornography from when they're around 9 years of age, before they discover it for themselves. My daughter was 9, her younger brother 7. I did not feel ready to have that conversation. But now, another year has gone by, and my wife and I know we need to start thinking about it and getting some advice. Over 3 one-to-ones, I'm speaking with 3 clever people about porn, what it means, how we live with it, and how we can talk to our children about it. In this episode, my guest is the founder of The Porn Conversation, a project designed to help families talk to young people about sex and porn. But she is better known as a screenwriter, director, and producer of pornographic films, films that she describes as ethical, female-friendly, and beautiful. Erica Lust, welcome. It's so nice to meet you.
Thank you so much.
In the previous episode of this programme, I spoke with the comedian Sarah Pascoe, and we talked about the vast proliferation of free online porn on sites such as Pornhub and Xvideos. And there are many such sites, but these are two of the main ones. You've described these sites as big porn in the same way we might talk about big pharma or big food. Is big porn a big problem?
Well, it has become the sex education of the whole generation. So it is definitely a situation that we have to deal with. We don't have the choice anymore, you know. I think that when I grow up, you know, I was born in 77, and porn obviously existed. Porn has existed forever. I mean, we are human beings, you know, and we are interested in portraying our sexuality. We have done so through all different cultures and times. And this new phenomenon with porn coming onto the internet and being such a huge part of our lives and influencing the way we understand ourselves, our sexuality, gender, etc., means that we can't avoid it anymore, you know? It's reaching all generations.
I think a problem that critics levy against big porn relates to the content. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the funny thing is that the problem is not really the sex. I think that people are sometimes confusing it and thinking, you know, thinking about it from a kind of morality point of view, that the problem is all this dirty sex out there on the internet. But for me, that is not really the problem. For me, the problem here is all the messages, all the harmful messages that are inside this descriptions of sex, you know, the misogyny, the racism, the homophobia that's out there sometimes, and all the aggressiveness towards women especially. That's what I'm particularly worried about. And that is what I think is so important for parents and educators to discuss with younger people in their lives.
You make and sell porn. So I suppose it's important to say that you sell porn. So you're interested in making a profit. This is a business.
Yeah.
You describe the porn that you make as ethical. I guess that will always be a contentious assertion where sex work is concerned. But I'm curious as to what you do to ensure your work meets a higher ethical standard.
Well, I think when it comes to the whole concept of ethical, it would always be complex to understand what it really entails and what it means. I mean, ethical is something that people are using in all industries. So yeah, the word in itself is complex. But what we mean when we're talking about a responsible production process, a responsible way of making pornography, etc., it's all about the working standards. It's about the process. It's about the values behind it. It's about taking care about the people who are making it and making sure that we are working in an environment that is as safe as possible. So what does that really mean? Well, it means that you start talking to your performers long before you are actually filming a sex scene. There's lots of conversations here about consent and about pleasure, really. And it's important for everybody who's going to participate in a sex scene to get together and to talk through that whole situation before they are actually filming it. I think it's especially important that they have someone else on set that they can trust. And then, honestly, it's not only about the production process, because then the films get into marketing and distribution. And then you have a whole different phase of things that can go in an unethically way. It depends on how you decide to market that film, what pictures you are showing, what tags you are using when you are describing your performers, etc. And that's what we see so many times in big porn on all these tube sites, that the language is getting very disrespectful towards people.
Of course, and it's important to confront this language. We talked about this in the last episode, that, you know, with the descriptions of those videos often conflate sex with violence, and there's the fetishization of race, hypersexualization of young teens, and so on. One thing that actually Sarah Pascoe, my last guest, mentioned, she said if she could wave a magic wand, she would make it so people had to pay for porn. So they would see themselves as ethical consumers, and also so that the actors are properly remunerated.
I mean, and not only the actors, also the crew members who are working in this film, because it is a whole industry in the end.
What if an actor decided after the shoot, or indeed, you know, many months after, that they weren't happy with it? Would you take it down?
I actually have a few films that are taken down because of different situations where performers have asked for the films not to be up.
Erica, what do your critics say?
Depends. You have critics all over the line, kind of. You have some people calling me fake feminist, feeling that you cannot be a feminist and a pornographer at the same time. And then on the other end, you have people calling me a feminazi, thinking that I'm too obsessed with showing a point of view, the female gaze, centering everything around the experience of being a woman.
The reason I ask that is, I suppose, what my feeling is, you know, if we're attempting to engage in an ethical endeavour, you know, whatever that might be, even if it's not porn, but if we want to work ethically, then we would want, wouldn't we, to be aware of what our critics are saying, because that's partly how we make sure that we don't have any blind spots in our thinking and in our working practices. Have you made changes to how you work and how you make porn based on the words of your critics?
Definitely. I mean, I've been in this industry now for almost 20 years. I made my first short film in 2004, so it's been a while. And obviously, I have evolved as a person. The industry has evolved. The internet has evolved. Feminism has evolved. The conversations around consent and around ethical working conditions, etc. So yes, I think that I started out with a perspective that was very focused on porn for women. Then it became more and more the female gaze, feminist perspective by women, etc. And then I got more into the whole kind of gender identity thinking, and it became more about everybody else who's not really the white, cis, hetero, middle-aged man and his fantasies, but all the other voices who feel that they have something to tell us, and something that how they want to see desire and fantasy and sexuality on screen.
So, Erica, I wasn't going to interview you without looking at your work. So I've watched some. And in the sample I've seen, there is an emphasis on consensual pleasure and a shared balance of power. And crucially, consent. If all porn looked like that, I'd have fewer reservations about my children discovering it and it becoming a de facto part of their sex education. Fewer reservations, that's not to say none. But the odds are they won't discover yours because it's rightly behind a paywall. They will more likely discover big porn. And maybe that will be fine, but maybe it will teach them that systematic violence towards women is okay, and the fetishization of race is okay, and the hypersexualization of young teens is okay, and that the most important thing is male pleasure, and so on and so on. As a parent, that's what troubles me. How do I talk to them about that?
But you know what? They already know all these things, not from porn, from other things, from music, from media, from television, from... I mean, it's all over. We are surrounded by these values. So actually, yes, maybe it's more explicit in porn because porn is explicit and it's focusing only on the sexual act, etc. But all these values are part of society and porn is mirroring this society. So what I want parents to do with their children is giving them media literacy and then by extension porn literacy. It's making them see what you see. It's having them understanding that porn is fiction, that it's not only a bunch of friends filming themselves, amateurs having lots of fun together in a sexual act kind of. This is an industry. There are companies. This is fiction. It's done by filmmakers who knows how to create an illusion, who knows how to make it look a certain way. And the problem here is that many of these people who are creating the porn that we have out there today, they want it to look kind of toxic. They want the men to be penetrative sex machines. They want the women to be seductresses. They want to show kind of the sexuality, the objectification of the women, the body parts. They want us to believe that that is good enough to have a fulfilling sexual experience. Well, it's not. And I think that this is what we have to address when we're talking about porn. We have to make them understand that it is fiction, that it's not the same as sex, that what is really lacking here is sex education. We need better sex education for our kids, for our teenagers, for our young adults, for ourselves, because we also need to re-educate ourselves when it comes to sex, because many of us, we didn't have the greatest sex education. We don't know that much. We have also learned from all these values in society and this power dynamics and the poor that we have found out there, etc. So this is a whole kind of community, societal problem that we are really facing here.
Well, I think that's a great point to finish on, because my next guest is a sex and relationships educator who works with young people. So we will steer the conversation in that direction. Erica Lust, thank you so much for talking to me about porn.
Thank you.